Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Peter Twist as my special expert guest. Peter Twist is one of the most successful trainers and performance coaches of all time. His business, Twist Sport Conditioning, is a world-class training and performance facility in Vancouver, Canada, with licensed facilities and franchises in the U.S. and Canada. Peter Twist coached in the National Hockey League for 11 years and is currently a consultant for several NHL players and agents, an exercise physiologist with a Master of Science and a specialization in coaching science. Twist has published over 400 papers, authored 10 books and 19 DVDs on athletic development while coaching over 700 professional athletes. A headline presenter at all major international sport and fitness conferences globally, in August 2018, Twist launched IDEA China, bringing the prestigious USA IDEA education brand to grow leaders across China. Peter was recently awarded China's Most Inspirational Fitness Leader Award and was inducted into the USA Fitness Hall of Fame in 2015. His list of honors from many organizations goes back to 1998, when Peter was awarded the National Strength and Conditioning Association's President's Award. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Right on, Corey. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm super, man. Life is good here in Vernon. How about you, where you are in Vancouver?
I'm on the North Shore in North Vancouver. I woke up this morning. I was awake. I was alive. Breathing in, sucking in fresh air, had easy access to water, shelter, safety. So life is good. Anything's possible with that kind of start. Loving being back home. And you're in a gorgeous area. I love going up there a couple times a year skiing. You've got a good lifestyle at your fingertips there if you choose to.
Thanks very much. And Vancouver, of course, I grew up in Burnaby, and that's a great place to be also. So Peter, I have known of you for a long time. I think we have a lot of mutual friends and connections in both the health food industry and the, of course, the exercise industry. You know, I grew up in both. I'm sure you did too. But let's talk about you, your background, where you grew up, and say what sports you played growing up.
Yeah, great, great. Well, certainly sports were a great way to point our compass to a life of activity. And I grew up in Ontario, small town Peterborough, in a great family. You know, we didn't have much in the way of finances, but we were rich in every other way. So very blessed. And I grew up playing, you know, in two ways. I grew up, as we did at that time, in open, spontaneous, free play with my friends. If we weren't in structured sport or in the classroom, we were outside playing and were free to roam and have all kinds of fun. So that was half of it. The other half was the structured sports, you know, known to North America. I played ice hockey, soccer, a little bit of football, tennis, did all kinds of track and field, volleyball, essentially all your North American structured sports. And I came out to the West Coast to do my master's in coaching science about 25 years ago. I wanted to stay in Canada, Corey, and I was choosing between University of New Brunswick, which is a great institution, and UBC. They were the only two in Canada with a coaching science program where we learn all the sport sciences to apply as a coach of a sport. And UBC, I looked at UBC, and it had researchers who were researching ice hockey. It was a particular interest, but they had an ice rink on campus. They had a couple good pubs. They had a golf course on campus and a nude beach. And I thought, there must be something to the West Coast. And I came out here and stayed ever since, dropped all of the sports that I grew up playing and loved, and picked up, you know, the West Coast recreation lifestyle sports, just skiing, snowshoeing, mountain biking, trail running, those kind of things that you can do anytime with your friends, with your kids, with your dog, by yourself. Fitted around a busy schedule and learned all those new activities, which was wonderful experience.
So as the habitat goes, so go the inhabitants. Would you agree that living on the West Coast, which is kind of a springboard from Venice and California and that outdoor lifestyle, does that have anything to do, do you think, with the interest in health and fitness that we have, which we feel is quite strong in the West Coast compared to the East and, say, in the prairies in between?
100%, and I'm not sure where the percentage of emphasis on each factor, but we've got the outdoor playground, so it lends itself to that. It also attracts a certain style of person. I stayed out here because it looks beautiful and it's healthy and fun and challenging to play in. I can have an active lifestyle. I chose to stay out here when I had kids, even though it's a lot more expensive here, and there's some challenges to that. But on average, the West Coast attracts people who are more open-minded, who are more into health and activity and a positive, active lifestyle. So it attracts those people. Those people grow up, get married, have kids. And living here would give my daughters, I have two daughters, it'd give them a higher probability that the friends that they make are active in sport and recreation and healthy lifestyle and are in that type of family. And that's how it's proved out. So absolutely. And I love being around people that are living a vibrant, robust life and appreciative of their human vehicle and like to go out and play and socialize in those ways.
Peter, can you tell us about your business, Twist Sport Conditioning?
Yeah, absolutely. We had some different chapters, Corey. The 90s, we were running sport camps all over the place. The 2000s, late 90s, we literally launched functional training. We had the first certifications in full body integrated balanced strength movement integrated functional training. So we had a really fun run in the 90s delivering certifications. We wrote in 33 countries, followed that up with all the unique training tools that are the tools that you need to practice that craft that were unique back in the day, and had a great product business around the world. And today we're focused on a couple of things, performance and wellness. We have 10 training facilities that train for sport and functional training, but we also have holistic nutrition, naturopathic doctors, physical therapy, mindset specialists. So it's more the full spectrum of health and wellness that we serve as clients who want to return to their best self and lead their families that way. We have some business interests, education in China with the Idea China conference that I'm collaborating a partner in. I'm launching a coaches college in Asia to develop performance coaches. And we're getting ready to come to the market with a line of medicinal properties of organic botanicals, targeted at quality of life, and bringing those to the market to help folks a little bit on the nutrition side. So the performance and wellness centers are bricks and mortar, and where we can host people and give them a positive culture and help them become their best self and impact their life in that way and enjoy, being hands-on with folks. And then we have a number of businesses we're quietly involved in behind the scenes that are in performance, fitness, health and wellness and nutrition.
Fantastic. The thing that comes to mind, Peter, and I've seen this time and time again in our business, is that when you get more and more involved in business management and all of the stuff, which is almost endless, that's associated with growth, how do you make time for wellness and not get caught up in what others seem to get caught up in, meaning they get away from the training and they get away from eating clean? How do you manage yourself in the busyness of your life?
I guess I'd reference two things on that so it's relatable to folks. I never do it perfectly 365. And, I get in a good groove and then I start to fall off a little bit. And I think I've just got a shorter set of reins in. If you look at the reins that you pull on a horse to get it to stop, and, if I get off track, maybe I put on 5 or 10 pounds of body fat. I'm not eating as healthy to keep my cells as happy and my mind as peaceful. I'm starting to work out less or lighter. I might fall into that for a while, Corey, but then I've got a short set of reins and I put on the brakes and I just stop and reverse direction and get it going. And so it's always within reach for me. And then, when I get it back, I set a positive intent every day just to win the day and get a little bit better every day. I'm wearing a wristband right now that says better every day. And so I just look to the small things every day. I believe in the best way you can be generous to the people around you is to be selfish and take care of yourself. Because if I'm so overweight, I can't move around, or I'm sick, or I'm in pain and dysfunction, if I'm grumpy, negative, short-tempered, all those type of things, I'm not giving my best to everybody around me, no matter how much I carry the badge of honor that I'm too busy to work out and eat healthy, so I'm taking care of everyone else. I'm actually not being fair to them. it's most fair for me to take care of myself, make sure I'm healthy, I'm in the game, I'm strong, fit, I'm peaceful, positive, patient, passionate, and then I can show up for everyone and give them my best. I believe that's true love. That's being generous. So I give myself permission to be selfish so I can be more generous. And last thing, I think mindset is the number one answer. You know, people travel on the road, they automatically conclude they're going to feel like crap. They're going to be jet lagged. So in the biology of belief, your mind's telling your cells to feel like crap. And they're kind of giving themselves permission. It's going to take them out of their routine. So they're going to work out less. They're going to eat poor. But most people's routine at home isn't perfect. So if you're traveling and it's going to disrupt your routine, why can't it disrupt it better? Why does it have to disrupt it worse? And so I use the road as the time to kind of get my crap together. And I set the intent to arrive home feeling better than when I left. Leaner, stronger, healthier, more positive, more peaceful. Those five pillars. And 90% of the time I do. So it changes how I walk through my trip, all the little things I do. And I actually use that disruption to my home life as a chance to disrupt it in a positive way, get back into workouts, make better food choices, and come home with that in my pocket.
So the short answer is because you want to and you're consciously aware of what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's my mindset, purpose, mindset, intent.
Awesome. Fantastic. Now, like you, I'm a Canadian, and like you, I love hockey, and as a young boy, that was my dream to play in the NHL, and you actually, you know, made it to a level where you're coaching and consulting in the NHL, which would attract a lot of attention if you were in a pub talking about this. So tell us about your experience working in the NHL and working with athletes, and get into the meat market aspect of business and maybe what you've seen firsthand that business has done to that beautiful sport.
Yeah, well, I guess if it's asking in terms of sort of, you know, fitness training, health, wellness, nutrition, that side of it, you know, performance at all costs for business and things like that. And certainly there, that is there. But I guess my simplest answer is when I started, training and nutrition and wellness and so on were something that players avoided and looked at as a consequence from their coaches versus something to advantage them. And you know what? There is a kind of a business of we got to perform at all costs. You know, there's been that with concussions and playing through injuries and overplaying people to the point that they're burnt out or injured, things like that. But really, the players now, it's gone from when I started, Corey, that they, you know, they avoid training and they're disinterested in nutrition and it's not even cool to eat healthy, to now it's beyond hockey and pro sport. For most pro athletes, it's also a lifestyle for them. Trevor Linden, who had a good run, trained him for about 14 of his 18 pro years. And when he went on, had a run as president of the Canucks as well as captain when he played. He said, you know, until players adopt training and nutrition and being healthy as part of their lifestyle and not just for the purpose of playing better hockey or their sport, they're not going to be as good as they can be. And the players today look at it as part of their lifestyle, and they want sustainable performance. They're a little bit smarter about it. So I see quite a different shift with the modern athlete.
So one of my mottos is that life is a sport and the objective is to succeed at being well. So in relation to what you just said, and I try and convince everyone that there's an athlete inside of their DNA just waiting to be pulled out of themselves. Could you say that if you're living a life, you're a businessman and you've got a family and you go to work, could you see yourself in the same athletic model where what you just said about the lifestyle, you've got to incorporate what you promote and teach into your consciousness and then into your lifestyle, not just something you sort of do on the side? Would that also be true, do you think?
100%. Just as an example, someone's a business executive, a business leader. They've got employees. They have a spouse. They have kids. They have all their lives to manage and so on. They got a lot on their shoulders and they got balls in the air. It's high performance. They're a high performance athlete. And, you know, you can say at our performance and wellness centers, we have two tracks. One's high performance sport and the other is high performance living. And both of them need sustainable high performance. So pro athletes are never at their best. You know, maybe an Olympic athlete that competes in the Olympic once every 4 years might actually peak. but most pro athletes play three times a week. So they're not at their very best they can be once a year to peak. They're at, you know, what's the best I can be at? What's the healthiest, strongest, fittest, most positive mindset, energy, and so on, that I can train and my lifestyle can build up to a level that I can sustain long-term 365. And that's, you know, someone's a single mom with three kids and she works. When does she need to be at her best? Every day, 365. So it's pursuing high performance like an athlete, embedding your complete lifestyle and consciousness. I like that word you used. But to a level that is, it's not a 30-day competition that we're doing once and then we're going to crash and burn. I want to sustain this 365 long term.
Excellent. Okay, I got a coaching question for you.
Yeah, now, yeah.
I'm a master's athlete. I'm a hammer thrower in track and field. I'm really, really into it. Okay, now Kamloops has the best hammer coach in the world. He is the Russian coach that coached Sadiq, who still has the world record, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I take tutorials from him. And as I learn and get better and better and better at throwing the hammer, which is very technical, I, by default, then start teaching young kids who come to me seeing me throw. Now, here's the question. I'm not a coach, but I end up coaching. I am dedicated to the sport itself as an athlete. What's the difference between someone like that and a coach who comes out of a university and in some cases has never even done the sport, like a track and field coach hasn't done every single one of the sports in track and field. Nobody can do that. But they're really good at coaching versus the athlete who is trying to coach and help but doesn't have the coaching skills. What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why you see on a lot of pro teams, there's a coaching staff and there's usually a couple guys that grew up playing the sport, played professionally or national and Olympics in that sport. And then they're there coaching from those years of experience. And there's a couple other guys that may have done the sport to a certain level, but a lot lower level. And then they went to university and got their master's in sport science and coaching and so on. And, you know, you bring in both, you know, the technician's mindset and the scientist mindset and the practitioners and the athlete who's been in the trenches doing it. Both are valuable. One might be a little bit more methodical in process. And you know, there's, if you're teaching a tennis serve, there's a certain sequence and order and mechanics that you can cue up and so on. There's no reason an athlete can't pick that up after receiving the coaching for 20 years and they know what they do. I think athletes can coach really, really well and they're very relatable and they can relate to the athlete with the stress and challenge of being actually in the trenches doing it because, you know, they can speak from that first person. You know, it's kind of a 50-50. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that you can teach it or coach it. And someone like you might have more natural teaching and sharing and coaching skills to set someone up for success. You know, and someone else can do it equally well, but can't communicate it and can't logically, you know, step people through from A to Z. You know, you're hearing your coach and teach you. You're able to absorb that. You know, that might be even more valuable than going to university for 4 years and studying the science of it.
Awesome. Good stuff. You know what? I love the way you sort of detail your answers and because they're coming from your heart. I can tell that they're very genuine. And this is rare, Peter. So I must say I'm very impressed by your natural charisma and the sense that you have as you sort of unwind. It's really delightful to listen to.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, here's something that is on my mind, and I know it's close to your heart because this is just such a great story. I read online about your account with cancer and your experience, and it's kind of mind-blowing. And I'm just wondering if you could maybe encapsulate that in terms of helping those listening who don't know about it, sort of give them an idea of what actually happened. And then after going through that, how that experience changed you, if it did?
I'm quite a private person, but I've learned this is a valuable story to share because it's my personal story, but it really generalizes to everyone because there's millions of people with cancer. They don't have that. They have another disease or illness. And if they don't have that, they have some heck of a challenge or difficulty in their life. So we've all got challenges to overcome. And I think there's some commonalities amongst how to handle all that. But I was 47, felt the best I ever have in my life on all fronts. And for about 5 years before that, I had this intuition that I had cancer, even though I felt amazing. And so, you know, short story, I got denied by several doctors. And when I did get checkups, all my tests came out perfect. But in the end, I had stage 4 nasopharyngeal cancer, which is head and neck. I had a tumor about the size of a baseball at the base of my brain stem. And then in my, you know, face, ears, neck, throat, chest, different tumors and stuff. So my prognosis was pretty nominal. I had a couple doctors, first oncologist, started to talk to me about palliative care, which is preparing yourself to die peacefully. So I didn't see him again. I decided he wasn't smart enough. And then I had a couple other oncologists. They really didn't think I had much of a chance, but I had one main guy. He thought he could, you know, get the, you know, some good level of chemotherapy and really bomb me with the highest levels of radiation because I happened to be my peak strength and condition at that age. And so I had maybe a little more resiliency and I had more room to fall. And it's sort of a last man standing drill, you know, which one dies first, the tumors or you? I think on that side, there's 2 or 3 key things that I could mention quickly. One was I was lecturing on sport nutrition at the time about muscle repair and growth and energy for, you know, multiple game tournaments and your basic performance things. I believe food is the effortless edge. It's an important area. You know, but I was really missing it. There's, you know, the type of food that we eat really affects our cellular landscape as well as our mental clarity for performance. So I took a different look at food and I started to understand for folks, this is important that I believe if I was in poor shape and hadn't been training in that chapter of my life when I had this diagnosis, I don't think I would still be here. Not only how to give tough efforts and the resiliency to do it, but having the heights of health and fitness and strength that you've got room to fall when you're beat up a little bit from stuff. So it's the theme of being your best when your best is needed. That's a real mindset. We need to be able to be our best exactly when our best is needed. And we don't usually get advance notice for that on that. But how did it change how I live? You know, I really focused through that on quarterbacking my health and owning the process. I did a lot of private tests. I even took, when they did biopsies, I took the biopsy in my hand and rushed it to a private lab so I could save about 5 days from the governmental system, which is a little bit slower. So truly quarterback your health, you know, own the process, be aware. And you asked, I think, how it changed me. I'm more empathetic to people when people can get, you know, hit with tough stuff in their life and want to help them. I expanded Twist Performance and Wellness to integrated help so we could help folks out with depression, heart disease, cancer, ACL injuries, what have you. It's been a great gift, man. I'm so grateful for every day and it's made me a lot more present. And I'm driving things forward, but I'm kind of I call it a peaceful strength. And I'm enjoying the process, not just trying to get to the finish line. And it's the presentness and gratefulness and the energy and happiness you carry from that. And that's good for the folks around me as well. But I think in every difficulty lay opportunity. We can either hang back and 5, 10 years later, still be grabbing coffee with our friends, complaining how we're a victim. You know, or we can springboard forward and how are we going to utilize that to live better today? And that's a choice again for folks. So I'm grateful to be in forward motion and have that quietly inside me as a strength I carry.
That's fantastic, man. There's just a ton of treasure in what you just said, and I've got it on record. That's fantastic. That's why I love these interviews, man, because I can listen to these 1,000 times and so can everyone else just to pull out that fantastic stuff. Okay, so the skeptic, the health skeptic, the guy that says naturopathic integrative medicine's a bunch of bull, conventional, very materialistic, and says, now you see, look at that Peter guy. You see what I told you? All that dedication to health and training and nutrition, and he ends up getting a tumor. So I told you I was right. It doesn't matter what you do. How do you respond to that?
Well, in one way, in one side, there's a little bit of truth in what they're saying. For sure, right now, there's someone who's like been eating deep fried factory farm chicken wings and chugging whiskey and their whole life, and they're going to go to 102. I don't know how good they're feeling all the way along. They probably forgot how what it feels like to feel great. Today, there's going to be an 8-year-old somewhere that gets diagnosed with cancer, and they haven't had a chance to do enough wrong things to get accumulated effects to get cancer. So I'd say that person, I'd tip my hat to them and say, yeah, you're right. In some ways, some things we're just going to get. But without question, there is a lot of research that there's a lot of factors that are under our control that if we do them poorly, those accumulate and lead to different illnesses, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, different types of cancer being one. So I think it'd be fairly ludicrous to give up and cross our fingers for our good health while we're sabotaging it, purposely doing things we know based on research that do add up to poor health and so on. I'd still encourage folks to work at what's under their control. And we can look at it, of course, there's always two perspectives on things like, hey, yeah, I was pretty fit and strong, but got cancer. But on the contrary, I think it saved my life. I was trained my whole life to endure tough efforts so I could do it. I trained to a peak performance, a peak physicality, so I had a great height to fall. And they could bomb me with a heck of a lot more radiation. The doctors think that that saved my life on that side. But, you know, I think it begs the question, what is healthy? And, you know, at the time that I got cancer, I was also, you know, working 80 hours a week. I was positive, but I was also intense. I had a lot of stress in my life. My cortisol levels were out of whack. So I had a lot of inflammation in my body, which leads to disease. And even rethinking things, Corey, like if someone's working out like an animal every time they work out, well, sure, you're going to get big, strong, fit and be a physical specimen. But it's an interesting concept. It begs the question to rethink, to look at society and rethink what's healthy and there. And we can say society as an overall, like North American society, you know, the main industries are hospitals, prisons, war, and it's a sickness economy, pharmaceuticals and so on. You know, we're not monetizing peace and love and health and sustainable environmental well enough yet, but some clever people will capitalize on that and monetize positive impact. Right now we have a sickness economy, and there's far more people in North America that are fat, sick, depressed, and angry than there are that are fit, healthy, happy, and peaceful. So I would suggest what folks are asked to comply or choose to does not work. Those are poor metrics if those are our key performance indicators. I think it's important to live outside the sickness economy, to live alternatively, to try your best to set yourself up for success. I think it improves our odds, but sure, we can still get hit with something that's genetic or there's just so many toxins in the soil, water, air of where we happen to live. Absolutely. There's some things that are genetic, but I think a lot of things we thought were genetic are actually just our parents had poor habits. And like my father was always afraid he was going to have a heart attack because his dad and brothers had and grandfather had heart disease. Well, they also ate high fat, high meat, smoked cigars, were sedentary. It was consistent lifestyle, not genetics on there. So it's rethinking things. And I'll just throw out one rethinking concept. I was working out like an animal all the time. Now, I think possibly that was good for my muscles and my heart and lungs, Corey, but my cellular landscape where disease takes place. If I'm working out like an animal all the time, that's great. I'm a tough athlete, but my cells, I don't think they can differentiate that type of stress any differently than if you and I were here yelling at each other every day. Is working out my hardest all the time positive experience for my cellular landscape? I think it's just too much stress on my cells, even though my muscles are responding and growing. So mindset and peacefulness and having an ebb and flow in our workouts and some tough workouts, some light workouts, things like that. Rethinking health from the inside of the body, our cellular landscape, not just our fitness, leanness, our muscles, things like that would send us in a good direction. And I don't think I was living healthy in all ways from those things that I referenced. And I've shifted my compass, and you try and learn from that. No one will ever be able to peg exactly you know, why I got cancer in particular, nor can they with an 8-year-old that unfortunately is going to be diagnosed as well. But I do believe in trying to learn what we can learn and controlling what we can control and having the intent to work at what we think advantages us. And maybe in 10 years I get cancer again, but I'm sure intent over the next 10 years before that, I'm going to live the highest quality lifestyle I can and help others do the same. No reason we wouldn't want to shoot for creating a good day.
Yeah, right on, man. I can see that wealth of your youth coming out, man. That's just fantastic. I thought a lot of things when you're speaking, but one of the things is the egalitarian hunting-gathering lifestyle that obviously required intensity in the persistence hunt and in the hunt. But there was a whole lot of downtime in those cultures. If you study predator animals, like a lion or a tiger, they go hard, man, when they're hungry, but you know, they sit around a lot and days in the sun, man, and get a lot of downtime. And I think that's the missing element that you're referring to for sure, huh?
I love the way you put that. I'm going to quote you just on that right there. I think that explains it to folks really well. And yeah, I think you're right in the sweet spot. I was going to use the word balance. So I just want to recognize what you said. Yes, I think that symbolizes and explains it really well. That does work. I was going to say balance, but I was kind of going off on a related path. But I think balance is a stress we impose on ourselves. I don't know anyone that's won a gold medal with a balanced lifestyle, let's say that. So I think we should give ourselves permission in our pursuits and time and so on to live an unbalanced lifestyle. I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to spend a lot more time on law school than I might be with my spouse during this chapter. And not everything has to be in perfect balance, you know, day by day, week by week, maybe over a lifespan. It does. But, of course, if I'm courting a future wife, I'm spending more time with her. If I'm enrolling in law school, I'm studying my brains out. And we're always skewed somewhere. So relieve yourself from the stress of having to have a perfect balanced lifestyle. I think balance can lead to average, and exceptional people skew things in a certain direction to go achieve things. They might be training 6 hours a day for a national tournament in the hammer throw, things like that. But as far as our health and wellness, balance, it is the lion who is intense and hunts hard and then rests and sleeps and lies in the sun and appreciates those moments. Having that embedded in your life is your activity level and your mindset. You know, get out of your intense hunting areas and go hang out, go for a walk in the forest for even 20 minutes and peace out a little bit to give yourself that rest in that lion resting in the sun. I think that's such an important emphasis that you symbolize there. That's perfect for to send people away with. Absolutely.
Right. And let's not forget the harem.
Tell me about that.
Well, a lion has a massive harem. Maybe there's something to that. Anyway, Peter, we're running out of time. We could go on and on and on. So I'm going to catch you for another one maybe next year as a part two in the series. But what's your website?
Website is twistperformance.com.
Twistperformance.com. Okay, so everyone out there, our listeners, our personal trainers, our health food store retailers, our health professionals, our athletes and coaches, get to Peter, get to his site, check him out. If you're in the area, think of taking some of his courses. We didn't talk about your university. We didn't talk about a whole bunch of stuff, Peter, but I definitely want to continue this because there's so much content that you have to offer, and this interview has just been absolutely remarkable. How about a final parting comment to excite us and get us motivated for today?
If I can say three quick bullets. One, another place folks can find me is just on Facebook. There's a great community there. For the purpose of the community that engages with me, are all motivated people trying to get back to their best self and are interested in fitness and health and quality living and so on. And I learned from all the folks that engage with me, and I'm motivated by them. If you're looking for to get pulled by a group, pulled forward, that's a great spot to land with us and hang out. Number two, I wanted to tip my hat to you for sure for having me on, and appreciate you so much sharing and scaling positive impact. You're trying to advantage others for success. I would say for everyone else, let's set the intent to win the day. Short-term goal, win the day. How can I show up my best with my best energy and kindness and presentness and positiveness to other people. One, just to spread that in this world that needs it. But two, someone's got to start it. And if you start that, you'll find people reciprocate and mirror you. And your day will start to become more about positive energy and presentness and good micro interactions. So let's set to the rest of the day to go win the day and set ourselves up to be a little bit better by the end of today, better every day. Let's try and set some others up to feel good in their day by just showing up our best. And then third, to enjoy people reciprocating that to us. So we are truly owning the process of creating a great day for ourselves. And I'll leave people with that to encourage them. Just go create a great day. Difficulties or easy day, just to do it well and create a good day.
Peter Twist is the founder of Twist Sport Conditioning. He is a fantastic coach and trainer, a trainer of champions, and he exudes the kind of energy that we all admire and look up to. Thank you very much, Peter, for the time that you've put into today's interview. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you. And I've enjoyed chatting with you on here and look forward to following what you're doing and hearing more of your interviews with other folks too.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.